Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Make some noise! It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. We are continuing on some summer series where we're getting to know the Bears roster a little bit more in depth than maybe some people may know. There's some questions, some battles, some storylines, a lot of things to look forward to. And today we are joined by Carmen Vitale. She covers the NFC North for Fox Sports. So thanks so much, Carmen.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. And so we are in the midst. Training camp has started now for the Bears, at least. And the rest of the teams are all coming. So let's start. I did a little summer series where we are addressing some questions that are kind of the basics when it comes to where the Bears are. So the first one, which is, what Bear do you think the biggest step this season? Is there a name for you that pops out the most in that?
I mean, is there any other answer besides Caleb Williams? I mean, this is what everybody's hoping anyway. Yeah. And what you've invested so much in making this such a wonderful environment for a young quarterback to come in and succeed, therefore making the offense and the team itself succeed and be set up for sustained success, that you need Caleb Williams to be the one that takes that major step forward. But you also need the rest of his offense, that a lot of which is new, to be right there with him and grow with him and figure out, you know, what makes each other tick, all within this new system that Shane Waldron is now implementing, which is, from all we've seen, pretty different from what the Bears were running last year.
Yeah, which I do want to get to Shane Waldron a little bit. But for the second question we did kind of in our roundtable is, who has the most to prove? And there were some people that still said Caleb Williams. That's an answer that some will probably have because, you know, you pick a guy number one overall and you hope that he is at a level, and especially the kind of the quarterback purgatory that the Bears have been in for a really long time. But so outside of a Caleb Williams, is there somebody or a coach that has a lot to prove this season?
Honestly, I think you can look towards someone like Braxton Jones, who the organization has thrown their support behind as their left tackle. I mean, Ryan Poles got him in the fifth round out of Southern Utah. That's not usually the place that you find your starting left tackle. And if you can, that's great, because obviously Braxton Jones is on a really small contract, which isn't the norm for left tackles, and he will be expecting more in the coming couple of years in order to stay at left tackle. But I think you need to prove that you are the left tackle beyond a shadow of a doubt, especially when the Bears made such an investment in their quarterback. You need to make sure that he's protected. This line is working well. I think Braxton still has doubters, not maybe within the organization, but outside of the organization. We saw him draw a few penalties last year. We saw him get overpowered quite a few times. I think his trunk just needs a little bit more strength. His leverage, kind of his anchor. I would really like to see those bits of his game kind of come along a little bit more to make everyone comfortable with him being the team's left tackle. But there's also the defense, you know, picking up where they left off last year, because I think that's what's going to keep Matt Eberflus in Chicago. And I would love to see them keep Matt Eberflus in Chicago, just from the sole reason that this is, I don't want them to keep repeating the cycle of getting the new quarterback and then getting the new head coach and all this other stuff. Like, we don't want that anymore. So if the defense does their job this year, I think Matt Eberflus is pretty safe. So hope for that.
Yeah, Carmi, I'm like one of the few that after the season was like, don't get rid of Eberflus. A lot of people were shouting it. I was like, same thing. I don't want to go through this whole process again. I also think that there was a lot of shortcomings last year when it came to, there was no defensive coordinator. There was no running back coach. We had Justin Fields, who everyone was like still trying to figure things out. The offensive line was hurt. It was just kind of a disaster. So I think a lot was put on Eberflus that maybe technically wasn't directly correlated to Eberflus. So I agree. I think a guy like Braxton Jones is someone that I've talked a ton about, because I think we have seen the upside in moments, but you want that to be a season long. You want to see it consistent from start to finish. So I agree totally on that. So another one, and this one I feel like is a kind of fun question, because there are some new faces obviously in Chicago, which is good, because we've had we needed to upgrade certain positions and you feel like they did. But what non-star think that can make the biggest impact if they perform well? And some of the players we've talked a lot about are like a Jervon Dexter, a Darnell Wright, maybe even a Jaquan Brisker, someone like that. Is there anybody to you that flashes where if they perform better than maybe what people expect, it would make an impact this season?
I think if you had asked Jaquan Brisker, he is a star. So I would say, but I'm with you with Jervon Dexter is the biggest one to me, because of the scheme that Matt Eberflus does run defensively. There's a lot that's predicated on getting pressure from the interior of this defensive line. And you drafted Jervon Dexter into a position that he did not play in college. He was a two-gap guy in college. You're asking him to be a one-gap guy and a guy that can kind of get pressure himself from that interior. And he has the traits to do it. That's why he was drafted by the Bears. That's why the Bears were so excited about him. But at the same time, we haven't seen him do it yet. And I think that's fair. You know, he was getting his sea legs under him in his first year, but now his second year, you need him to make a legitimate jump, because the Bears did not go out and get an experienced three tech. They did not go out and get really much experience at all for that interior rotation. And you cannot rely on just Montez Sweat on the outside for your pass rush when it comes to up front, at least. I think there's going to be, you know, a very interesting, you know, rotation on the other side of Montez Sweat, but the way you can make it easier for Montez and whoever's opposite him is to create pressure from the interior. And so far, we have yet to see that the Bears have those guys. If there's one position on this roster that I am still concerned about, it is interior defensive line. So if Jervon Dexter turns out to be the guy they think he can be, great. That's going to mean the pass rush is going to be so much more effective this year. That's going to take pressure off the back levels as well. It's going to make this defense more cohesive, which is going to in turn allow them to get to the quarterback more than they did, on top of hopefully continuing their turnover streak and what they were able to do as far as interceptions go towards the tail end of last year.
Yeah, there's a reason we say that teams are built from the trenches because of things like that. Just the trickle-down effect of if your interior plays well, how much that affects everybody behind them, on the other sides of them, everything that kind of factors into that. And then when you go to the other side of the trenches, you actually on Up and Adams with Kay Adams made a comment about how the offensive line is kind of taking ownership right now of a successful offense and what it can be this season, and especially kind of helping Caleb Williams. We've seen the last few years of how it really hurt Justin Fields. And I know some people shout, like, if you put Justin Fields on this team right now, things could be different. He could still be here in Chicago. The conversation with that is over. Justin Fields gone. Yeah. Caleb Williams is the quarterback of Chicago. But the importance of that, and obviously the offensive line realize how important it is for them to be healthy on the field and playing well.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I got to have a great conversation with Tevin Jenkins, where I went to his training sessions with AQ Shipley in Arizona this summer. Just for a couple of days, I sat in on like their lifts. I've sat in on some of their on-field workouts. And it was really interesting and enlightening. Again, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can about offensive line play, because it's so hard to quantify, and like the qualitative stats we have just don't accurately measure these guys' performance. So I'm trying to learn as much as I possibly can. But what I learned about the Bears in particular was that Tevin talked to me a lot about how there's actually a lot of continuity along this offensive line, save for whoever ends up at center between Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton. Both of those guys are vets. They're new to the Bears, but they're vets. Outside of that, your entire line, the rest of the starting five have been in Chicago. Tevin is now the longest tenured Bear actually on that line, which is wild to say in his fourth season. But he wants the offense to be able to lean on the offensive line because of that continuity. They retain Chris Morgan, their offensive line coach, under Shane Waldron now. So that again helped tremendously. Tevin made sure to tell me that they really appreciated Simo getting to stay around.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, because they have more experience up front, they want to make things easier on Caleb Williams behind them as much as possible. So it won't just be up to the center to make these checks and IDs as far as the mic point or the down lineman, whoever they're setting the protection to. They want to make sure that the rest of the line is getting in on that and making sure that they're right, recognizing certain things. If they see a blitz coming or, you know, whatever it is, they're going to call it out and try to make sure that Caleb Williams, you know, doesn't have to just survey the field and do everything himself.
Yeah.
It'll still be up to Caleb Williams to operate then with the information that the line is giving him.
Yeah.
But they are trying to do everything they can to make it as easy as possible on their rookie quarterback.
Which, I mean, I think that we have to say, just like, it is wild to think about, first of all, that Tevin is the longest tenured now one when we're talking about these start of offensive linemen, because I feel like we almost just drafted him, but we're a few years into this now. And we just actually, a conversation just came out today. Tevin Jenkins shared, you know, his group kind of reached out to the Bears on a contract earlier in the season, and they said they want to wait until after the bye week. I get it. You need Tevin healthy. And unfortunately, if we were talking about Tevin Jenkins being healthy, I think there would be no doubt he would be getting a contract from the Bears. But that health is just such an important thing. You need to see these guys on the offensive line. And we've seen how many different guys Braxton Jones has had to play with just in this last couple years because of injury, and how many centers there were, and the rotation that was kind of all over the place. I mean, Tevin himself has had to play 3-4 different
all
positions
on the line. Yeah.
So it is, it's just such an important aspect. And I really do, I hope we're seeing obviously health, but I also hope we're seeing this, that cohesion that they're talking about show up on the football field, because I do think that that will be massive for Caleb. So speaking of Caleb, that's the question. That's the hot topic this offseason. It's going to be everything he does and doesn't do is going to be reported on. What are reasonable expectations for Caleb Williams in your opinion?
Yeah, I keep getting asked this, and I think CJ Stroud did a disservice to pretty much everybody in the league, every new quarterback coming into the league, by coming in and instantly lighting the league on fire, his team on fire. I mean, what CJ Stroud was able to do last year with a first-time head coach, defensive head coach, so many question marks along his offensive line with his skill players, all that kind of stuff, it cannot be overstated how incredible that was. Mm-hmm. However, that should not be the expectation. And I know there's a ton of people saying, well, look at all the talent Caleb Williams is surrounded by. Why isn't it okay to expect that out of him? Because he's still a rookie. And this game, while it looks similar to the college game, is completely different at the pro level between what you're responsible for, what like the talent around you can add to your arsenal, sure, and can make things easier. But at the same time, you're going against the best talent you've ever faced. And being able to read and make quick decisions and make good decisions, that is something that only comes with experience and seeing the, you know, different fronts and how different teams attack you and how different teams attack your receivers and knowing what makes them tick and all that kind of stuff. There's no substitute for time when it comes to that. We even saw that last year with Jordan Love, who has been in the Packers organization for 3 years, and it still took him a half a season to gel with his receivers, to make to really give Matt LaFleur a reason to open up the playbook and trust him. And so if you have a guy that's been sitting on the bench that knows the system like the back of his hand, still needing at least a half a season to kind of get acclimated to the speed of the game, why would that be any different with a guy like Caleb Williams? He is an incredible prospect. He was an incredible quarterback in college. A lot of his game was making things out of nothing, which was an incredible quality of a quarterback. But it becomes that much harder in the pros, in the NFL. You can't necessarily just go off script like that all the time. That can't be the way that you get by, because you're not going to be able to get by with the way that these defensive ends are going to come at you, or the way that, you know, these secondaries know how to disguise things. So what's really encouraging to me is that Caleb Williams is a guy that keeps his eyes up even when he scrambles. So like when he is improvising, he's always looking for other open throwing lanes or other throwing lanes to come open. I think that that puts him ahead of guys like Jaden Daniels at LSU, who was a wonderful scrambler, could go off script, but always kind of tucked his head down and ran to get that first down. I think this is all wonderful. But as far as expectations go, just take it step by step. I think it's really simple. break the Bears rookie records, which are the records are on the floor. Pretty it's easy. Very easy. This is really like, this isn't low hanging fruit. This is fruit that has already fallen off the tree. You can get those very easily.
Yeah.
I would love to see, I don't want to put any team success on Caleb Williams because I do not think that wins are a quarterback stat. There's so much more that goes into it in this game. I do think though, if you're flirting with 3,000 yards passing, especially with all of these receivers that you have, great. If you're flirting with 25 to 30 touchdowns, amazing. That's going to put you, you know, if you go 3,800 yards, 30 touchdowns, which is a pretty run-of-the-mill stat line for a quarterback, that's going to put you in the record books as having the best season by a Bears quarterback. Yeah. So anything in between the breaking the rookie records and then breaking the Bears quarterback records, I think is completely fair game for Caleb Williams. Yeah. But I don't want to put team success on that either. Like I said, I think it's very contradictory for us to call this the ultimate team game and then give wins to quarterbacks. But if the Bears, if they look like a competent team, they're competitive within their division, if they are flirting with playoff contention, this is all wonderful and encouraging as you go forward. But I don't want to put, you know, league MVP. I don't even want to put offense player like or rookie of the year. I don't want to put that on him. I don't want to put any of that kind of stuff on him. Like just one step at a time. Winning season.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Which it's hard to do. Like people are impatient and we get it. And it's just, I talk a lot about here because obviously I work in Jacksonville too. So how Trevor Lawrence's career has gone and what people kind of expected right away makes me really simmer my expectations because you saw how incredible Trevor was. And it's taken him 3 years to really get it acclimated and there's still people questioning it. So it's be patient. When it comes to the QB record, it's funny because Mina Kimes in her bio says like QB, you know, win losses are not a QB stat. And so anytime someone on Twitter says something to me about a win loss record for a quarterback, I just post that. I'm like, it's not.
I've never understood that. I've always been very vehemently against, just like Mina has, the wins being a quarterback stat because I'm like, one person cannot affect the win loss record, at least, you know, over the course of a season. Sure, one guy can sway a game.
Yeah.
But there's just like, we call it the ultimate team game. So isn't that contradictory to say that one guy gets credit for the win? Yeah. There's too many other things.
So let's switch over to another big topic when it comes to the offense. Obviously, we can talk about the weapons with Roma Dunze. I was screaming for Roma Dunze. I wanted him so badly. So I was stoked on draft day. Obviously, Keenan Allen's a major weapon added to it. Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, all of these guys that are going to be beneficial to the offense. But to me, almost, Shane Waldron is one of the most beneficial parts just because you mentioned how different it's going to look. So how quickly is everybody going to catch on to some of these things? But how, when you're thinking about a Shane Waldron offense, what are you picturing?
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, there's a lot of motion. I mean, he comes from the Shanahan McVay tree, and so there's a lot of window dressing when it comes to stuff like that. But the way with which Kyle Shanahan likes to use his running backs, Shane Waldron likes to use tight ends. And I really appreciate that about his system, because tight ends create so many different mismatches. It's really hard to figure out who to put on a tight end based on what they're about to do. And if you have guys that are versatile, like Cole Kmet, like Gerald Everett, who can stay in and block, but then also are threats in the receiving game, you can exploit that pretty easily. Yeah. And so I appreciate putting multiple tight ends out there, because there's just not a lot of teams that are running these multiple tight end sets. And therefore there's just not a lot of defenses that are super experienced in defending that. So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate this run scheme, this mid zone scheme that thrives off double teams. That's something I talked a lot about with Tevin, was it doesn't leave these guys on an island. Uh-huh. That's great. The kind of concern with that is that these guys really need to know what the other is doing at all times. Because if one guy misses an assignment or shifts the wrong way or whatever, it throws everything else off. But that's pretty true for offensive line play as it is. It's five guys working as one at all times. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can open up, especially with the run game as well. I think it was a little lackluster the last couple of years. So with the addition of DeAndre Swift and then this new run scheme under Shane Waldron, I really appreciate that this could be a very well-rounded offense, especially, again, with all the motion and the window dressing and the fun things that Shane Waldron likes to throw in there. The best thing, though, is that Shane Waldron is coming in with a track record. Yeah. That was the biggest missing piece with Luke Getsy, was that he had experience in one system with mostly one team with a quarterback that didn't really need coaching or probably wouldn't take coaching.
Yeah.
So it doesn't allow you to evolve as a coach when that's not being asked of you. And if you look at Shane Waldron's track record, he's gotten the most out of so many different kinds of quarterbacks. Not only he responsible for the Geno Smith resurgence, but also he helped out guys like Jared Goff when he was in LA. He helped out Russell Wilson when he first got to Seattle. All these quarterbacks are different kinds of quarterbacks. So you really understand that Shane Waldron kind of takes a system that is pretty simplistic in its base form and then adds to it based on what his players can do well. And that it starts and ends with the quarterback. And I really appreciate that. I think he's going to be able to get the most out of Caleb Williams. I've heard of what a wonderful teacher Shane Waldron is and how simple he can make things. And then once you kind of get down the road during the season, you'll start seeing, all right, maybe there are only four different looks, but now we've got 15 different plays that come out of each look. And it keeps defenses on their toes, which is great.
Yeah, one of the things I talked about, number one, he also has called plays before. And that was one thing about Luke Getsy previously.
Amazing. Amazing, right? Amazing concept. Maybe you want a coordinator that's called plays before.
So as everyone was asking, like before they hired the offensive coordinator, like, what do you want? I was like, it'd be nice to have someone who's actually called plays in the NFL. That'd be a start for number one. But yeah, and I keep telling people too, Carmi, like the first few weeks, because I could just see people complaining on Twitter that you guys told us this was going to be this type of offense and it was going to be fun and upbeat and a lot of movement. And I'm like, just pace yourself, though, because Shane Waldron also knows that he has a lot of new pieces to fit together that are all kind of figuring things out at one time in a rookie quarterback. So I do think it might progress into kind of his more fun, quirky offense once we get a little bit more into the season. But it'll happen. There's going to be a point this season where we're watching a game and we're like, there it is. Like, that's a Shane Waldron offense we've seen in previous stops for him. When we go over a couple more for you before I let you go. So when we go over to the defensive side of the ball, you mentioned the defensive line and that interior being a high concern. And I know a lot of people also are talking about the pass rush in general, because across from Montez Sweat, it looks like right now at this moment, it's DeMarcus Walker is that other guy. I know they drafted Austin Booker and maybe he'll fit in a little bit, probably more of a third down guy. He's very raw. So do you think they address that at all? Or do you think they're going to roll with what they have right now and see how it goes during the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that Ryan Poles is not afraid to keep looking, and I think that that would do well. They would, the Bears would do well to keep looking, especially when you start getting into cutdown day later on in the preseason and seeing what guys are actually available. I don't think that they're done adding to that position group in particular, but I do think they're going to evaluate what they have right now and see exactly where someone else would fit in, because you have to, like, you need somebody that's different from what you have already in order to make it worth it bringing them to the team at this point. Mm-hmm. So you have a rotation, you have DeMarcus Walker, you have Dominique Robinson too. Again, yeah. Like you said, you drafted Austin Booker later. I was quite frankly pretty surprised that they waited to do that, but it just makes me think that they do think that they have enough at least to counterbalance Montez Sweat on the other side. But I cannot stress it enough. If you have, you need to have one other dude on the offensive line. He can be on the interior.
You can
be on the interior. Sorry. I don't know if I said offensive line, defensive line. You need one other dude besides Montez Sweat. Like, Montez Sweat is going to command double teams, and if you allow teams to double him, then and you can't win with anybody else, that's when you're really putting stress on the, like I said, the back level. I think the linebacker level is great. I love all the Bears linebackers, and they seem to be pretty deep there too. So you can make things happen in the run game, in run support with those linebackers, but when it comes to the pass rush, if you stick with things how they are right now, I'm just concerned that that's going to stress the back levels a little too much, and you're going to let teams kind of do whatever they want underneath, and that's not going to get you anywhere, and it's not going to continue the plethora of turnovers that they ended up with at the tail end of last season, or the last back half of last season, I should say.
So speaking of that, let's back up a little farther in the secondary, because I think that I've been very vocal. I think the secondary has the chance to be one of the better secondaries in the league. Jalen Johnson just got his contract. I think a lot of people are waiting for him to get those interceptions. It finally happened last season. Tyrique Stevenson, first half of the season, growing pains. It was a little clunky. At the end of the season, it looked like he was a vet. He had a ton of targets. I think that's a positive thing. He was one of the most targeted corners in the league last season, and we saw the growing pains through that, but I also think it gives him that experience. He has a ton of experience now against all sorts of guys last year, like a Davante Adams, a Jordan Addison, guys like that that he was going up against. And then you got a Jaquan Brisker that you said he says he's a star. I know a lot of people don't love Jaquan. I like Jaquan. I like my secondary to be a little chatty personally. And then obviously we got Spider-Man with Kyler Gordon, who I feel like has really come into his own too. They added Jonathan Owens, a couple pieces that they have in, obviously Kevin Byard with Eddie gone. So what are your thoughts on the secondary in general? How quickly do you think they can kind of go to form that we did see late in the season?
I mean, I hope it's going to be pretty soon, but or pretty quickly, because I think that was it Jalen or it was Jaquan. Somebody was talking about it just today about how they want the defense to get off to a really fast start. And I think that is within everybody's benefit, because you have an easy start to the schedule as far as, you know, teams with playoff records go, at least. We'll see what they end up being this year. But you have the opportunity to help your offense by locking up the defensive side of the ball, giving the ball back to Caleb Williams as much as possible to get him the reps that he needs to develop. And the way to do that is for the secondary to be the ball hawks that they were at the end of last season. My issue with the secondary is I think all the starters you have slotted in there could be, yes, to your point, one of the best secondaries in the league. But after that, that's where I don't know about the depth. The depth is something that worries me, because especially when it comes to secondaries, injuries are just part of the game. You know, it's 100% injury rate. You're going to have guys go down. How do you make up for that? And we saw, you know, periods of time where Kyler Gordon went out last year. We didn't. And then Jaquan Brisker fighting to stay on the field. And that really messes with things. And again, puts stress on a front level that we don't know if they can handle it yet. Of the defense. So that is my only concern. But in the beginning of the season, especially, I think they can absolutely get off to that fast start, because all of the starters there, I think, complement each other really well. I love the addition of Kevin Byard, because he's an experienced guy and he's a veteran in this league. So you have a lot of young guys around him that, you know, he can kind of take charge and play that Eddie Jackson role that he did the last few years. I mean, I know that Eddie Jackson's going to be missed, but I think they can pick up right where they left off when it comes to the experience they now have. in the secondary. It's just going to be a matter of staying healthy. Which is the case for everybody.
Yeah. And also, it is nice to obviously have a defensive coordinator, too. They went through the majority of the season last year with, and I know I give credit to Eberflus because he did battle through a lot of that stuff in the secondary, looked different, obviously, with the addition of Montez Sweat. But just in general, they all felt like, even in a losing streak of what they had, they never like gave up on Eberflus or gave up on what they could potentially be. You never felt like they were dragging on the sideline, defensively at least. There were moments where I felt like the offense was, but let's just real quick before we go, a little look around the NFC North, because obviously you cover all of the teams, so you're close, you know kind of what's going on with everybody. Do the Lions win the North again?
Yeah. I really don't want to have to predict between the Lions and the Packers this year. And I know that's not music to Bears fans' ears at all, having the Packers return to the division title conversation. But what they were able to do last year as the youngest team in the league, they're only going upwards. And especially once this Jordan Love contract goes through, I just have to think that they are going to be playing with the swagger of a team that's been together for 3 to 4 years. But the Lions, I don't think there's going to be anything lost as far as motivation goes. I think a lot of people are worried about them not being the underdogs anymore. Mm-hmm. But the way Dan Campbell has everybody bought in, that doesn't change. And honestly, he's already been poking the bear, poking all of the team just up and down, reminding them every single day of how close they were to the Super Bowl and how much it got ripped away from them in the span of a half. That's something that is on the forefront of their minds. It's giving them everything to play for. And what separates these elite teams from good teams is really the intangibles. I mean, you have teams that are talented that just can't get over the hump. But when you have a team that has talent and culture, like the Lions do, I can't say enough about how great that locker room is to be in. Even when they were losing a couple of years ago, I started covering them in 2022, even, you know, getting off to the start of the season that they did, and they were on like a 6-game losing streak at one point, and that locker room was still a good place to be. And that's hard to do. It's hard to get people to buy in when you're not seeing the returns right away. And by the end of that season, they had kind of arrived. And then this past year, it was good to see that all kind of pay off, and it was validation for everybody in that locker room. So I think the Lions still win it. I think the Packers push for it. I think the Packers still end up as a playoff team. And I think this division is probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest, in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I agree. What have you been hearing from the Vikings camp when it comes to the quarterback situation there? Is it going to be seeing JJ McCarthy right away, do you think?
No, it's going to be Sam Darnold to start out with. And I think that the Vikings have been very transparent about that from the beginning, because they don't want to put any pressure on JJ McCarthy right away. And this is not a luxury most teams get. You don't usually have the patience of an organization, of ownership, of all that to say, hey, listen, we're going to start a different guy. He's a placeholder. We're going to pay him a bunch of money because we want him to start for us for a while. That way we can be 100% sure that when we throw out our guy who we think is the quarterback of the future here, our franchise quarterback, that he's 100% ready. And I think we're going to see a lot of Sam Darnold. I would not be surprised if he starts 2/3 of the season, if not the whole season, depending on how JJ McCarthy's development goes. But I do also think that the development is going to go well because you have a former quarterback in Kevin O'Connell that's leading it, on top of Josh McCown is the quarterback's coach in Minnesota now. And you have all of this talent to rely on that can get you by, that can help develop your quarterback. This is why you pay Justin Jefferson market setting money, is because he is going to be your number one asset in developing your quarterback. And Justin Jefferson knows that. So I really appreciate kind of the approach that the Vikings are taking, because it's a slow but steady approach, and that's not usually afforded to teams. You know, we see it with the Bears. Caleb Williams was the first overall pick. Guess what? Yeah. You're starting day one.
Yeah.
That's not going to be JJ McCarthy, which is great because obviously he got limited reps in college, needs that development. But I also don't think the Vikings are going to be that bad this year. I feel like I've been kind of on an island in saying you don't need a world beater at quarterback with all the talent they have, especially on offense. And a defense that's entering its third year under Brian Flores, where I think that's going to be a top five unit. So this team could very conceivably squeeze out 8 to 9 wins, and I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been vocal about that too. It's hard to not like think that offense can be something. And then, like you said, we saw with the Vikings defense, they're just like so blitz heavy and no one has able to figure that out, I feel like. And that's just what Flores does. So until somebody figures that out, this defense is going to keep doing kind of what they have done the last couple seasons. So again, Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports, thank you so much for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it. I know things are about to get crazy, training camp and full go.
Yes, full go. I feel like the offseason gets shorter and shorter.
I know.
Thanks so much for having me, Taylor.
Well, thank you. Have a good week.
Okay, you too.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.